Good Saturday to you. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And here we are, mid-September, and you know, there's just, I don't even know where to begin. I think you're up to speed on the mainstream media news on ISIS, ISIL, whatever you want to call that. What did our president say? Oh, JVs. Yeah, JVs. Taking over the size of a country that's now about Great Britain's size, and that includes Wales. And they're just JVs. You know, the spectacle of his handling and his administration's defense of his handling and what is now really open conflict, political and otherwise, between the military and the Obama administration, which I've never really seen before. You know, even in the Vietnam War, for those of you who remember back, I mean, when Lyndon Johnson was running the war kind of like, you know, a drunk warlord, and the military wanted to do other things, it was still kind of hush-hush. I mean, yeah, once in a while there was a leak, a retired general would be on a news show, but this is all out. I mean, the Pentagon is leaking stuff left and right. The CIA is on the administration's butt. You don't think that 31,500 men in the ISIS army figure was just... the CIA never releases information like that. I mean, that was done for a reason. That was a slap to the Obama administration who keeps saying there's no problem. By the way, we're going to talk about several things today because I could go on, I could drone on for hours. There are so many things happening, which are being shadowed by this obsession over, number one, NFL, whatever scandals. I mean, really? Who cares? I mean, this is like anesthesia. This is distraction. This is the glittering quarter held in the right hand while the left hand rips your heart out. ISIS. Do you know why Obama calls ISIS ISIL? Have you been wondering about that? I may pronounce the word wrong, but the L in ISIL stands for Landon. And Landon, if you go back to ancient Muslim history, theocracy, etc., Landon is the area of the caliphate. And that includes Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia. Oh, yes, and Israel. So why did our president, purportedly our commander-in-chief, supposedly the leader of the free world, ostensibly a patriotic American at the helm of the world's greatest nation, why did he change the name to ISIL? ISIL is kind of, using that name is kind of a admission. It's kind of an acknowledgement of what their ultimate plans are. Is he sending them a message? Like, this is okay, guys, a nod and a wink. You know, I'm going to bomb a couple of your tanks and stuff. But, you know, small potatoes for you guys establishing the caliphate. Go, boys, go. And by the way, did you know Barack Obama, kind of like Lyndon Johnson did with disastrous effects in the Vietnam War, is personally choosing the targets for the air, quote-unquote, bombardment? Look, there's been 175 strikes flown in like 5 or 6 weeks, and the media, the mainstream media, touts that up. Do you know what 175 strikes is? That's less than one day's bombing run in the Iraq War. It's less than one day's bombing runs in the Afghanistan conflict. It is nothing. It is subterfuge. It is smokescreen. It is nonsense. Just like they're going to train the Syrian free forces that he didn't want to train for the last 3 years. Really? No kidding? Oh, come on. I mean, just listen to the numbers. These people think you're so stupid that you're going to eat up their crap. Of course, most people have been eating up their crap for, you know, a year or two before he was elected. So you can hardly blame them for thinking that you're going to continue to suck on the pineapple Kool-Aid. The bottom line of this is exactly as I've said. His heart is with ISIS. His heart is with the freedom fighters against the colonial powers, against those arbitrary boundary lines drawn that created Syria and Iraq by evil Britain and France in 1917. He wants these guys to win. Not only that, and some of you will shake your heads, but I'm going to ask you to connect the dots and step out of your normalcy bias. I think you will admit, no matter what side of the political aisle you're on, that Obama's acts and lack of acts, and those of his minions in the White House, are bizarre. I mean, I think you'll agree that they are bizarre. Yes? So, let's go a little further. We have a southern border that's porous, that he refuses to close. Now, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, on September 10th, 4 known terrorists were caught at a checkpoint north of the border. You'll read articles in today's show that talk about at least 40. This is from Senate Intelligence, by the way. I'm not making this up. At least 40 ISIS fighters who hold American passports are back in this country. There was one ISIS fighter who was back in the country in Minneapolis and then flew back over there and blew himself up, along with about 30 other people, innocent bystanders. What if he decided that he wanted to do that in America? Look, the bottom line is that ISIS is here. ISIS is recruiting here. ISIS has sleeper cells here. They're coming across the southern border. The State Department, put this dot on your radar, folks. The State Department and the Senate Democrats have refused to revoke the passports of the 100 or so known American jihadists who have left America, have American passports, and are fighting with ISIS over in the Mideast. Really? This is after watching the videos of beheadings, the beheadings perpetrated by British, in this case, British converts to the ISIS theology, if you want to call it that. Look, none of this makes sense unless you step back out of your normalcy bias and understand that Barack Obama does not want to take down ISIS. Barack Obama really would like to see ISIS accomplish, if not all, most of their missions in establishing or reestablishing a caliphate. And Barack Obama, I know this is a horrible thing to say, but I want you to think about it. I think we'll all agree that he's a totally political animal. This is the man who looked in the camera and lied to your face to get elected to begin with. And then absolutely lied to your face, as is now coming out, you know, about Benghazi, about there being no stand down order, about there being a video, about there were no troops and military in position to help those poor people when they were calling out desperately for their country to come to their aid. Who looked in the camera and told you you could keep your policy, your premiums were going to go down $2,500, you could keep your doctor, knowing damn well you couldn't. Because of what he had instructed and what the Senate Democrats did to follow his instructions in voting down an amendment in 2010 by, in fact, Wyoming Senator Enzi, which would have allowed you to keep your doctor, allowed you to keep your hospital, allowed you to keep your policy. It was the regulation that was written was at Obama's behest to Sebelius, his appointed secretary of HHS. You're going to believe this man? Really? This is the guy who told you this is the summer of recovery for four recoveries. This is the guy who tries to tell you that he's reduced the deficit. You know, look, if by now you don't know that Barack Obama lies regularly to you, in fact, consistently to you, and that he is purely a political, ideological animal who harbors a, at the best, disdain for America and for you and me, Americans, then I just don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, how often do you have to be lied to by your children or by your family or by your friends before you know they're liars and it affects your relationship with them, whatever it may be? So I want you to put two and two together. We know he's a political animal. We know he will lie for political ends. That's a given. It's a fact. In fact, it's a set of facts a mile long. And now he tells you that we're safe and we want to, and he's going to protect us. And there's no problem with the southern border. And there's no imminent threat. You can read the articles on this week's show. There's plenty of high-ranking anonymous sources in the government, the Pentagon, and the intelligence agency saying there is an imminent threat. We're going to be hit imminently. You'll read an article about the weaponization of Ebola, which, by the way, Barack Obama told us it's all under control. How come his White House and HHS just ordered 160,000 Ebola suits? 160,000. Maybe they're going to go to a ball game and they don't want to get butter from the popcorn on them, on themselves. And if you listen to the World Health Organization just this week, they're saying unequivocally Ebola is out of control. This is not a pending pandemic. It has now reached pandemic proportions in Africa. And you know the way the world is interconnected. Some poor schmo, some poor gal, not even knowing they're infected, could be flying into the United States or anywhere in the world. And then people from there flying other places. And you don't think ISIS knows about Ebola? You don't think that people who are willing to blow themselves up would allow themselves to be infected and purposely, prior to the infection becoming apparent, fly into the United States and contact or spread as much as possible, wherever possible? Really? You don't think so? Or take a couple of Ebola corpses and blow them up with dynamite in a crowded place in a big city? This is not fart. This is real stuff. What about that 88 pounds of uranium enriched and radioactive materials that were stolen by ISIS from Mosul University when they took over Mosul? I talked about this 4 months ago. You take a couple pounds of that and 30 pounds of TNT. Or any explosive. And set that off at some major intersection in some city. You have a big problem. Yet Barry wants to tell us there is no problem. And he doesn't close down the border. And his State Department, he and John Kerry, what a, you know, John Kerry is, I mean, Hillary at least put up a strong front, even though she did nothing. I mean, at least half of what's going on right now is Hillary's fault. Did you hear about Leon Panetta now speaking up? Oh, hey, Leon, where were you 3 years ago that we should have left troops in Iraq? Barry knew exactly what was going to happen if we didn't leave troops in Iraq. And despite the knowledge, despite what has happened in Iraq, no American troops, an out-of-control Iraqi government, and ISIS moving into the void, our president is up there saying he's going to do the same thing in Afghanistan? You must ask yourself, please, is that a rational human being? Or is that a rational human being who knows exactly what he's doing? I think it's the latter. It's a rational human being who knows exactly what he's doing, who wants an outcome and is lying to you about what that outcome is going to be. You know, he talks about the airstrikes, yet he controls the airstrikes, personally picking the targets, I guess, in between golf games. The result is that the airstrikes are, you know, it's like swatting, it's like an elephant swatting at a gnat. And what about their command and control? You're telling me that our intelligence agencies don't know where these guys, plus or minus, are located? And if not the top cheese, at least the sub cheese is under them? Come on. Yet we do nothing to take them out. Well, look, when you put all this together and you couple that with Barry's political ambitions and the fact that he is a political animal, you only come up with one, at least in my mind, you only come up with one bottom line. You know what that bottom line is? I think this guy really would like something calamitous to happen. And he'd prefer it to happen before the election. Because maybe the American people wouldn't want to change then. They'd keep that Senate in Democratic hands, those senators who have done so much to keep us protected. So much to do the economy. So much to make us energy independent, i.e. Keystone Pipeline. So much to keep us safe and secure. Let me put it this way. You may believe it or you may not, but grant me this. It's worth a passing thought. It's worth more than a passing thought. All right. Ebola. I have a number of articles on Ebola, folks. Some are under women, and some are under terror. Some are under international. You should read them. This is a much more serious situation than you're being led to believe. You're being lied to. They are attempting to pull the wool over your eyes. Ebola is here. Ebola is out of control in Africa. And Ebola is a huge, clear, and present danger to the health of many U.S. citizens here in the United States. Did you notice that the talk of this mysterious virus, which has affected respiration of so many youngsters in various areas around the country, where did that story go? Poof! You heard about it for a few days, and then it was gone. A few commentators put together the fact that we don't know where all these illegal aliens are being bussed around the United States because the government won't tell us. That's a whole nother story that's getting buried, immigration. And all of a sudden, the story about the school kids, the young kids getting this disease, this virus, all of a sudden it's gone? Really? You think there's coincidences out there? There's no coincidences out there. And when it comes to this government, under this president and this White House, and this Senate leadership like Harry Reid, there's no coincidences at all. Everything is planned. Everything is done for a reason. And the reason is political and ideological. The reason is not the safety and security of America or Americans. It's not the stability of our economy. And it's sure as hell not the safety, sanctity, and values of our children. That you can rely on. Now, we may argue about what they really want to achieve, but I don't think we can argue about what they want to achieve is vastly different than what they say, looking so earnestly into the camera and telling you how concerned they are about you and your family. Nonsense. And what about the military? You know, a few shows back, I kind of blasted Dempsey and the Joint Chiefs for being limp wads out there, yes men to the president, political animals, the most political head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I finally got it out. And you know what? Old Dempsey's starting to stand up. So are the other military. You know, this is kind of a preposterous thought, but when you have somebody who's committed treason and they have failed to uphold their sacred oath to defend and protect the Constitution, and they are taking active steps, never mind the action they're not taking, to subvert and make less secure America and the American people, and you have a Congress where the House really can't do anything on its own, and the Senate is deadlocked because of Harry Reid working at Obama's request, I wonder if it's far-fetched to kind of hope maybe the military arrests Barack Obama and tries him for treason. Let's Joe Biden take over. I bet Joe would mind his P's and Q's if something like that was going on. Crazy thought? I don't know. I'm not so sure that's a crazy thought. I mean, in the end, assuming all the protocols were followed under the Constitution, other than the arrest of the commander-in-chief by the military, which, by the way, that type of action, relieve of command, arrest, and certain other actions is allowed by the military code. I don't know if you know that or not. But an officer who is issuing commands, whether it's one or a pattern of commands, which is contrary to the military code, contrary to his oath, and contrary to the safety and security of his men, can be relieved of command by subordinates. That's right in the military code. And the Joint Chiefs of Staff under the Constitution are the direct subordinates to the president. You know, kind of like, the major to the colonel to the general. Anyway, something to think about. Because I don't think our military is very happy right now on a lot of scores. This nonsense in the VA, I've been running articles on that. That's another thing that's suddenly, poof, evaporated, gone by the wayside with all this other crud. They're not happy with this pathetic pursuit of ISIS, or as our president would call them, ISIL. Hey, boys, I like that L at the end of your name. Yeah, wink, wink. I don't think our military's happy at all. I don't think they're happy with the budget cuts. I don't think they're happy with the handling of Russia and the Ukraine. Wait till you read the article on this week's show about that. Putin knows exactly what's going on here. He actually came out and said, you know, in one day I could be in 5 NATO capitals with ground troops. And you know what? He's right. That's the pathetic part of it. The guy is exactly right. Now, somehow I don't think Putin would be saying that if Ronald Reagan was president. I'm not sure he'd be saying it if Bill Clinton was president. He sure as hell wouldn't be saying if George Bush was president. But with Barack Obama, he kind of has an ally in the White House, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Now, will the military ever do that? Nah, highly unlikely. Should they? Open for debate. Could they? Absolutely. Something to think about. And I got some other things here for you to think about, too. You know, one of the things that is kind of being blown off by the wayside because, you know, ISIS just isn't an imminent threat. Global jihadism, global radical Islamic folks just aren't a problem. And all of this doesn't exist, and all of you should go to work tomorrow and not give it another thought, because A, it's not a problem, and B, to the extent it might be a tiny problem, we have it handled because we're looking out for you. You know what Pope Francis said? And I think you would hardly call the Pope a hawk. Pope Francis says World War III has begun. It's exactly what he says. In fact, I'm going to post the article on next week's show. It was too late to get it on this one. But speaking a week ago at Italy's largest war memorial, basically the Pope said that the spate of conflicts around the globe today are effectively a piecemeal, quote unquote, piecemeal, third world war. He condemned arms traders and plotters of terrorism, etc. You know, he's right. The biggest nations of the world, Washington, Brussels, Beijing, you know, Moscow, are all behind this rising tide of violence and geopolitical rifts. Washington and Brussels, of course, is the home of the European Common Bank and the home of the European Union. Washington and Brussels, they're on a warpath. They want to monitor everything you say, everything you do, tax every penny of wealth, try to confiscate portions of it. I mean, you know Europe is endorsing income tax rates of as high as 75% in France. It's getting ready to implement a 10% wealth tax on all Euro citizens. If you have a net worth over a certain amount, 10% of it you're going to give to the government. Europe is also about to legislate that you lose every cent you have over 100,000 euros, that's about 150K, in any European bank should it fail. Poland, who, you know, listen, it's kind of a bastion of democracy, right? Freed themselves from Soviet tyranny, etc., etc., Saul Wilenka. Poland has nationalized 100% of all retirement accounts in the country. You remember the president talking at the State of the Union about MIRA? Look out, folks. Nationalization of retirement accounts is coming your way. Except that they're going to do it through subterfuge. They're going to tell you you can't have your tax benefits in your current accounts anymore. However, if you go to this government account called a GIC, then you can have your tax benefits. And of course, the government will protect you and guarantee all this money to you. After, of course, it prints the money to buy its own bonds. You know, the retirement age is going up. Washington is considering making it mandatory that a portion of your IRA or 401k hold a minimum amount of U.S. Treasury bonds. Think about that. We're printing money right now to buy these bonds, except they're going to have to issue more bonds. I mean, this is kind of a foreshadowing of more national debt. They're actually contemplating of requiring that your retirement account holds a minimum of X percent, whatever it's going to be, of United States treasuries, which are issued to finance the ever-increasing debt of the United States and the expansion of social welfare, you know, social justice, spread the wealth, baby. Obamacare, it's really a tax. You know that, right? Obamacare is, as Max Baucus, the lousy, terrible senator from Montana who wrote the first draft of the bill, freely admitted. You can go on Google and watch him say it. Google Max Baucus redistribution of wealth, Obamacare. It'll come right up. He admits that Obamacare is a redistribution of wealth. I mean, he admits it. It's not about health. Has nothing to do with health. And by the way, that's another thing which has been swept under the carpet. What about Obamacare? How's it working? Lousy. What's it costing? Three times as much. Who's getting covered? Less people than before. Who's paying? Everybody. Lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. You know, the war on your wealth, the struggle over energy resources and natural resources, not to mention ideology, theology, etc., and putting aside the unholy alliance, listen to my show last week, between the extreme left and the jihadists, which absolutely exists. Putting all that to the side, the attack on wealth is the cause of much of this turmoil in the world. You know, think about China moving to control the South China Sea, the Spratly and the Senku Islands, huge oil deposits. Think about what Putin is doing in Europe and elsewhere, I might add, around the globe. Or the practice preemptive strike bombing run his strategic bombers made over Canada the week before last, without a word in the mainstream media, and of course, not a word by the United States government, not even a rebuke. Look, there's independence movements everywhere, right? Scotland, of course, defeated by 8% theirs. Spain has independence movements in Catalonia, Basque, Andalusia, the Canary Islands, Asturias, and the Balearic Islands. Northern Italy, the province of South Tyrol, is seeking to secede. Texas is talking about secession. Wyoming actually has talked about secession. Northern Colorado wants to secede from Colorado. Flanders, the Dutch-speaking northern portion of Belgium, wants to secede. Corsica wants its independence from France. Bavaria is getting a rising tide of separatist voices wanting to secede from Germany. In Canada, Alberta, Quebec, and British Columbia are all seeking independence, and the movements are growing in popularity. I've long said, what a great country it would be. Alaska, the Yukon, British Columbia, Alberta, the Dakotas, Montana, Idaho, Texas, Colorado, maybe New Mexico, who knows, Oklahoma, Nebraska, a few of the southern states. Think of the vast sea ports we would have, the vast energy resources we would have. We would control the food supply of the world and the energy supply of the United States, North America, and much of the world, not to mention other natural resources. The two coasts could just buy all their stuff from us. They could stop all their fracking. They could stop growing food. They could implement Agenda 21. They could have 90% taxes on the rich. They could do whatever they want. A little crazy? I don't know. Look at a map. It's not that crazy. You know, there's been talk of war cycles. I've talked about them. There's a number of theories out there. I'm not saying whether I ascribe to them or I don't. But certainly, you know, it's kind of like your horoscope. Even though you don't really quite believe it, you kind of read it every day. And many times you see some kind of spark of similarity between the day's events, the day's interactions, and what your horoscope said was going to happen. Well, that's kind of what we're seeing with the war cycles. The proponents of the war cycles say that the war cycles are going to peak in late 2020, 6 years from now. And then until then, the world's going to be awash in increasing amounts of violent turmoil, domestic and international, financial, economic, culturally, socially, you name it. The one thing I can tell you, folks, taking what I said about ISIS in the present, taking what I said about terror in the present, Ebola, all these boiling pots of, you know, let my people go thought. The struggle between the military and the executive branch, almost unparalleled in recent history here in this country. This is a time of momentous change and horrific danger. Those who keep their head in the box, those who do not step out of their normalcy bias, those who do not think ahead, those who do not teach themselves to recognize dots and then to connect them, whatever your final analysis may be, and who do not seek to protect themselves and their family's physical safety and security through all the different ways I've been trying to bring to you in interviews, in discussions on this show, in the articles I've been posting with links. Remember, I don't endorse them. They're for you to research in links and articles under family safety. Give us some thought. I flat guarantee you that the world has moved beyond you just picking up the kids at school tomorrow. Work is normal or as usual at 9 o'clock every day. Ma and Pa visiting for vacation every Christmas. You know, all those day-to-day things that you've become used to, that you kind of get ensconced in, that in some insidious way, and listen, they're great. They're part of life, family, the whole nine yards. So don't get me wrong. And they should be enjoyed. They should be cherished, even more so in these times. But give yourself 10 or 15 minutes a day, or an hour a week, or whatever it takes. Sit down with your other half. Sit down with your kids. Sit down with your family. Sit down with your friends. Talk about these big picture, big change, paradigm shift occurrences. Discuss amongst yourselves what might happen and what you might do in the event X, Y, or Z occurs. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your kids. And you know what? You owe it to this country. Because the more people that are prepared, the more people in the know, the more people with knowledge, and the more people that act on knowledge, the more likely this country, its values, its ideals, its pivotal place in history, and as a bastion, even though greatly diminished over the last 20 years, and particularly over the last six, of freedom, the more likely it is to survive. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Think, and have a great week.